I don't tie this shoe, I'm going to fall and you guys are all going to laugh. So we're going to cover that. It's great to be here tonight. This is just an incredible opportunity. This is a dream of a guy named Paul Miner. He said, "Hey, Ron, why don't we do this thing?" And I'm like, "All right." So that's kind of how most great ideas start. And so I'm really pumped about this. As I said, we've been talking about the strongholds of religion, addiction, poverty, and tonight I want to talk to you just a little bit about family. And we're going to be quick. My goal is to leave here about 5:30-ish, so that gives me about 16 minutes. So if you guys want to listen and hang out for 16 minutes, that would be awesome. I'd appreciate it. I tend to ask hard questions. I'm not one to go along to get along. I'm a preacher kid, and at some stage I started asking my dad hard questions as a preacher kid, you know, why we do things certain ways, and that caused all kind of problems, you know, one of those kind of guys. And one of the hard questions that I've been asking as we've been praying against the strongholds in our community and is, what exactly do we want God to do? What exactly are we asking God Almighty to do in our community, and specifically when it comes to family? What exactly are we asking God to do to relieve the family problem in our communities? And we're praying, right? And we're praying, and so say maybe we pray, "Dear God, I pray that you would put families back together." And that's awesome. That's an awesome prayer, right? You guys like that prayer? Yeah, that's good. Put families back together. So we pray this prayer, put families back together, but how exactly does that work? Because the families that I minister to, it's not that simple. It's really not that simple because dad had 8 kids to 4 different women. So which dad and mom get back together again? Or now they're divorced and this mom is married to another guy and they're serving God, you know, but then you have this dad over here. So how do you put this back together again? And the families that we see and the structures that we see, they're messed up and it's complex and it's bigger than just, "I wish mom and dad would parent trap, you know, get back together." It's deeper than that. It's more complex than that. So what exactly are we asking God to do? Dear God, fix the families in our community. What exactly is it? And so I've been wrestling with this and thinking about it. How are we going to do this? We're praying against the spiritual war against the family. And that's one way. We're praying against the spiritual warfare that's going on, all the spirits that are attacking the family, that are trying to put all kinds of things into the family that tear it apart and rip it apart. Maybe it's time, maybe it's pornography, maybe it's just all kinds of crazy stuff that happens that we all deal with in our families, that we wrestle against, we struggle against. We're praying against all that stuff, and that's good too, that God would bind the spirits that are oppressing the family. But I got to say something controversial because it'll make you listen, and because I believe it. Here's the thing. I don't think prayer is going to fix it. I don't think that prayer alone is going to fix it. And so, whoa. We're praying. Why are we coming to a prayer meeting and then you're telling me that prayer is not going to work? Hello, that's like not making sense. He's not a very good preacher. He must be really young. 32, just so you know, okay. That's not going to work. In fact, in James, you might be quoting this, James 5:16, the effectual fervent prayer, we'll go back to the KJV, effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, right? Means prayer has a purpose. It has a place. Prayer is powerful. So what am I saying? I'm saying I want to win. I don't want to move the needle. I don't want the needle to budge a little bit. I don't want to save a couple families. I don't want a couple families to be a little bit better this year than they were last year. I want to win. I want to see radical transformation happen in our communities where people look at it and say, this is bigger than any one person. This is bigger than Easton Community Center. This is bigger than Calvary or the Baptist Church or the Methodist Church or the Assemblies of God or Cherry Tree Alliance Church. This is bigger than any one church could do. This is bigger. This is a God thing. So what does that look like? And how do we make that happen? I want to share with you God's example in 1 John. 1 John's like my favorite book in the Bible. And I want to share a few verses from 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 11 through 16. And I'm reading out of an ESV tonight. So it's page 1022. If you have trouble finding it. This is what it says in verse 11. It says, "For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we, should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love. And this is how God expresses his love. This is how it works. This is what love looks like. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. This is how it's going to work. God loved. God loved, so he did something about it. God loved, so he gave, right? John 3:16. God loved, and so he showed that love, and he did something about it. And we're talking about brothers here. We're talking about family, okay? Spiritual family, your neighbor. God loved, and so he did something about it. And then he said, this is how God demonstrated his love, so we should do the same thing. God loved, and so he showed his love. He didn't just feel for me. I praise God that God didn't just like look up in heaven and look down at Ron and all the mistakes I was making in my 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 20, 32, 33, 30, and say, oh, you know, Jesus, because we know Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed for his disciples. He prayed for us in the New Testament. Dear God, I pray for Ron. Like, that would be cool, but he did more than that. Yeah. Praise God, right? He did more than that. He said, I'm going to go and die for that idiot because he needs it. Because if someone doesn't cover his sin, he's going to go to hell. And if someone doesn't give supernatural power to Ron, he's going to do the same stupid thing over and over and over again and never, ever get better. And he's going to wreck his marriage, and he's not going to be the dad he's supposed to be, and he's not certainly not going to be a pastor or any kind of Christian. And so I need to die for that guy, or else he's not going to get any better. God just didn't feel for me like, oh, man, I feel for you, Justin. I feel it. I'm going to pray for you. Jesus did something. He took the stripes. He took the cross to show that he actually loved me. And he did the same for you. He took the stripes. He took the cross to show that he actually loves you. And so here's what I want to tell you tonight. Bottom line, if you don't take anything else away from this, I want you to remember this. Love does. And I totally stole that from Bob Goff. But that's okay. If you don't know who that is, look him up, buy the book. It's an awesome book. But it's not about that. Love does. If you don't remember anything else, I want you to get a tattoo. No, just kidding. Maybe a temporary tattoo, you know, love does or something like that. Tweet it, put it on your Facebook, like write it on a little note card and put it on your mirror with lipstick, you know, spray paint this on your neighbor's house. Love does. Love does. I want that to haunt you. I want that to haunt you, because when you see your neighbor, when you go today and you have a hot dog with somebody who is your neighbor, lives in our community, they're our family, and you talk to them, and God says you're supposed to love them, and you say, I do. I'm totally feeling this hot dog exchange. I want you to remember, love does. Love does something about the love that's felt. Love does something about it. I want to share with you guys a story, and then I'll be done. And I didn't know if she'd be here tonight, but Tammy's here tonight. So don't cry, Tammy. I got to tell this cool story, right? When I moved into Uniontown at 18 years old, I was a missionary kid. I grew up in Japan. I was a weirdo, okay? All missionary kids are weirdos. You don't believe me? Meet the Herman kids. Right? Yeah, I love them. I love their kindred spirits. We connected like that because we're missionary kids. I get into town. I got flip-flops on. I have bumper stickers, not just on my bumper. I have them all over the sides of my car, the top of my car. I have a black light in my car and little glow-in-the-dark stickers. Like, and I'm just weird. And I get in. Amen. Thank you. My father-in-law saying, "Thank, amen," right? In fact, he told his daughter to stay away from that one.
That's right.
Married 9 years in June. So I get into town, and I came here because I wanted to follow God, and I was supposed to be discipled in the church, trained in the church, groomed for ministry here, and go to Cal U and get a computer science degree, get the best of both worlds, you know, get my secular degree and my theological training. It's going to be awesome. You guys don't watch Hannah Montana? Okay, well then, I'll just scrap that one. So, I get into town, and I have no plan. I'm 18. I'm stupid, right? I just drive into town with garbage bags full of clothes. Like, it's just all going to work out. Never been to Pennsylvania in my life. And I get here, and Alan says, hey, we have a family in our church that says you can stay with them for a couple of weeks till you find a place. I'm like, sweet. So I moved in, and 3 years later, I finally got an apartment. But the cool thing was that Mark and Tammy took me into their home. They took me into their life. And, you know, after church, Mark and Tammy are going to go out to eat with their friends. And Ron's with them. What's Ron going to do? Ron doesn't have a job. Ron doesn't have any money. So Ron comes out to eat, and they paid for my lunch. Over and over and over again. And Ron wears weird clothes that don't quite fit right. And Ron wears his sandals all the time. Maybe it's because he doesn't have shoes. So Tammy buys me a nice pair of dress shoes. You know? And they continue to provide for me. And at Christmas time, they bought me gifts and treated me like a son. And gave me a room in their home. And I had conversations with Tammy. Remember the first time I wanted to go to a college party? You remember that conversation? Right? I'm at Cal U, and I'm like, I got invited to this party. It's going to be awesome. And she's like, wow, how about we process through this, Ron? You know? She's like, what do you think? Do you think that's the right decision? And she didn't push me. She didn't twist my arm. She didn't scream at me like my God-fearing parents would have, you know, who loved me and who I would do to my kids. They mentored me through this stage, this incredibly tough stage of 18 to 20-something, where I was making decisions and deciding whether I'm going to live my life based on what I believe in the Bible or whether I'm going to do the things that kind of feel good and sound good to me. And they helped me make those decisions. And they walked me through that. And that has been so incredibly valuable to me. And it dawned on me that love does. Love does. And the only way that our families are going to be restored and healed is if we, like Mark and Tammy did, if we, like Jesus did for us, if we actually start to put our arm around somebody and say, I'll be your brother. Let me buy you some shoes. Let me hang out with you. How about you come with me to work and shadow me? How about you come over to my house and play Xbox? How about you come over and watch the Western Channel, okay? Because I want to reach all demographics here. All right? Let's go play sports together. Let's go watch sports together. Come into my life. Hey, why don't you be my sister? Will you go shopping with me? I'm going to Walmart to pick up some stuff. I'm going to pick you up. Come with me. Hey, I'm doing housework today. Why don't you come over and hang out? Let's bake some cookies. Let's do life together and start inviting other people who are in these broken families who are never going to get back together like the family that we want, the perfect little family of mom and dad and the Leave It to Beaver and the I Love Lucy. It's not going to happen, but we as the church can love people and bring them back together and be moms and dads and grandmas and grandparents and aunts and uncles because our love does something. That's the only way it's going to be solved. So I want to challenge you with this. Love did something. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 17, this is what it says. Our next verse here, and this is a hard one, so kind of brace yourself. It says, but if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. It's right there in the Bible. Don't just talk about it. Do something about it. Don't just talk about it. Do something about it. And so what does this work? How does this work practically speaking? Because, you know, there's 40 students in my youth group and I want to adopt them all. And I don't make that much money. I don't have the resources to do that. I can't do for everyone what I would really want to do. How can we do that, Ron? I can't do that for everyone. Our church can't afford to do that for, how does this work practically speaking, okay? I know you're thinking that because that's how I think. And here's what you do. Love does, So do for one what you wish you could do for everyone. Do for one what you wish you could do for everyone. Pick one that God lays on your heart. And so today as we go, our purpose is simple. It's to go and have a hot dog with a brother. And don't assume that they're like addicted and on crack and like living in the ghetto and they're horrible. They're probably a better Christian than you, some of them, okay? They might need to pray for you. These are just our neighbors. They're our friends. But when God makes a special connection and gives you a divine appointment and you meet somebody and you're like, wow, I feel connected to this person. Don't ignore that. Don't be like, that was cool. We had a hot dog and we prayed together. Exchange numbers. Text that person. Facebook that person. Write them a letter from the post office. All demographics, right? Go visit them. Build a relationship, okay? And maybe that relationship will lead to an incredible unlocking of God's truth. I want to close with this. What if God answered our prayer? What if God answered our prayer? We've been praying against the strongholds, praying against all of these things in our community. We're praying against the stronghold of family. Dear God, I pray that you would bind the spirits that are wrecking our families. What if God said, okay, what's your game plan now? What's our response? God's like, it's done.
Done.
Check. Check in the box. Spirits are bound. What now? We, the church, are supposed to mobilize and go do something about it. So that's what we're going to do. I'd like to, let's see. I'm going to invite Justin. Will you come up and lead us in corporate prayer before we go out? And then here's what I want you to do. If you know where you're going, if you've talked to me, if you're going to Tuskegee, you're going to go with my wife, who is over here in a rocking chair. All right? If you're going to Bearwood, you're going to be going with this guy right here. If you're going to Cool Spring, you're going with me and Justin. If you don't have a place, if we haven't told you where your church is going, Cherry Tree is going to Tuskegee. Faith Assembly is going to Bearwood. The Methodists are coming to Cool Spring. Okay. Abundant Life, you're going to Tuskegee. Anybody else does have a place? City Church, do you guys want a place to go? How about you guys go to, we'll have them come to Cool Spring with us. You guys want to come to Cool Spring? Okay. So you come with us. Anybody else not have a place? You guys? Calvary people? When do you guys go to Bearwood? When do you guys go to Tuskegee? Spring Valley? How about you guys go to Bearwood with Pastor Joe? Cool? Okay. You guys, Tuskegee with Lee. Okay? Justin, will you lead us in prayer? Let's all stand together.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for an opportunity to be your hands and your feet. God, we thank you so much that your Spirit's upon us, that you have already gone out and prepared a place for us to minister to be an extension of who you are. God, you have readied hearts and you have readied minds. Lord, I pray that you rest upon us and you prepare our hearts, even now, to interact and encourage our communities. Lord, I pray that you have your way, that we don't sell a church and we don't sell a program, God, but we just show love. Yes. Lord, I pray that you use our mouths to speak your word and you use our hearts to show who you really are.
Yes, God.
God, I thank you so much for an opportunity that not too many people take part of. Thank you for an opportunity to reach out to our communities, to love on one another, and to show Jesus Christ to the people around us. Let the fruit and the harvest be plentiful. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.